The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley and Shaka Hislop. If that wasn't enough, we also welcome Jan Arga Fjortoff is with us. And really, there's only one place to start. Once again, day two of Harry Kane refusing to go to training.
Brilliant.
Oh. It's going to keep us going, isn't it?
Yeah.
Craig, you weren't here yesterday, of course. Yesterday was the first day. Was today's that? The second day.
Brilliant.
Oh, what do you make of it?
Oh, I'm back in Thursday. That's the fourth day. Can't wait.
Long may continue.
I'm surprised that if indeed this is the reason, and can only be the reason, that this is the way he's trying to force it through, I would not have imagined he would have went down this route. But maybe he's not hearing back from Daniel Levy and the hierarchy what he wants to hear, and he's taking it into his own hands by doing this. I don't think it's a great way, personally, of going about it, but if this is how he thinks he can force it through, then who are we to argue? But clearly, he is absolutely desperate to leave this club, and as I said, we've all said before, they try and keep him, you keep him, you keep him, you keep him, the transfer window goes. What have you got? A goal scorer who is completely fed up, and I don't think that's great for either of them.
A goal scorer, though, who chose to sign a contract.
A contract because that protected everybody, as I said. Now, it's up to them what clauses they put in it for future reference and potential transfers. Clearly, there's nothing major that can release him. So, yeah, it would depend on the conversation that was had by him, his representatives, and probably Daniel Levy when he signed the contract. I don't know, but bearing in mind there's not a lot else happening, thank you, Harry Kane.
Indeed. Never a true word spoken. Jan, would you ever have done this?
Well, I would if they could guarantee me to win titles, and obviously that is Harry Kane is doing at the moment. But I do agree with Craig, it's a very valid point, because if you've seen the reports lately, it's all about this six-year deal that he did with Tottenham. That was good for Harry Kane. Yes, that gives his family security, but it also gives Tottenham security, because they can plan. They can also plan with 100 million or whatever amount that will end on. What makes it difficult is that, of course, Harry Kane tries to be a politician at the moment, because he's in a desperate split, because he wants to be the captain. He wants to be the darling of the Tottenham fans. He got a great relation with his fans. He's an England captain and so on and so on. But he's also very, very desperate to get to Manchester City, because he's 28. Mm. And if you see his record, you see why Manchester City wants him. And if you see Manchester City record, you understand why Harry Kane wants to go to Manchester City. There's not much time left for him to win titles. And as we see Tottenham at the moment, they won't win titles this season either. And then he wants to go to Manchester City. And believe me, this player will end up at Manchester City.
Wait, you have no doubt about it, Jan?
Absolutely not. Because there is so much... This is going to be a money thing. Because Harry Kane knows this is his chance. And we can agree or disagree on the tools he's using to force that move. That is fair. And I can understand the Tottenham fans being very frustrated by their captain. Having said that, if he didn't score for a long period, the club would have sold him, would have put him in the stands. Of course they would. Would they put him out of the team? Of course they would. So it's not that easy that he is this kind of quisling kind of guy that wants to leave the club. I think this is a more balanced situation, and not turning up for work. Well, that is a tough decision by Harry Kane, and somehow he's going to be penalised. But at the end of the day, it will be his reward to be a Manchester City player next season.
Some reports we were saying before, Shaq, are suggesting that he's self-isolating after the family on holiday to the Caribbean. That seems ridiculous because if you were self-isolating, you could just put out a statement. Someone could reach out and say, we are.
Maybe he's even isolating from social media. Who knows? Oh, yeah, he's taking the document only. He's taking his quarantine that seriously, Dad.
Other reports suggesting that he might be returning at the end of the week. Is this a case of, look, I've made my point, now get something done? And
Listen, Harry Kane has to show back up at some point. That is, even if it's a matter of having that negotiation with Daniel Levy, whether it's him or his team, and then getting himself back in some kind of fitness for when the deal does go through, as Jan thinks it inevitably will. So it can only go on for so long.
Right.
I am of the belief, and that Harry Kane had a gentleman's agreement with Daniel Levy until.
What does that mean?
It means it says, I'm signing this deal, but if a bid comes in at a certain level or I say to you I want to move on, it's an understanding between two gentlemen.
Why not have that written in a contract? Why not have a release clause?
Yeah, exactly. Put it in a contract.
I'm siding with Harry Kane here. He comes through the academy at Spurs. He feels he has a relationship with the club. He feels he has a relationship with Daniel Levy and that he's comfortable having that gentleman's agreement. Me personally, I would have had it in writing.
Right.
No question. Also, and again, as difficult as Daniel Levy has been in dealing with, it makes more sense to have it than not. But then, as I mentioned yesterday, you have Modric and Bale who forced their moves through by taking similar actions, albeit a different league altogether. And Harry Kane probably thinks that he's now boxed into a corner.
So Spurs come back to training yesterday, Monday.
Yes.
Is it not just that Harry Kane, like a lot of players, had extra time off after a major competition?
Because some Spurs had already been training. So this was like this was Harry Kane's time to come back. So Tottenham Hotspur had been training before.
How do you know it's Harry Kane's time to come back?
Because that's what we were told.
Who?
Who told me? I don't know. Tottenham.
Daniel Levy phoned Dan up.
Because obviously his participation in the Euros, so from that time he had X amount of time off.
And we have that in good authority.
Yes, we do.
We have a gentleman's agreement.
I doubt that we do, bearing in mind I know where most of it comes from. But I don't know. I don't know.
130 million we're hearing. Is that about right?
Oh, my God, I was talking to him and snap his hands off. Snap their hands off. He's 28.
Right.
There's a pandemic. There's been a budget. People are cutting. We talked about seven clubs can spend and not spend. Mm. You know, it might only be an extra, we're throwing millions around like it's nothing, but an extra 30 or 40 million for Erling Haaland, who has got an extra, what, on him, eight years, mm-hmm. 9 years. So if it was 130 million, that's money Tottenham would never get again.
Right.
Not at that age. So that's a deal that...
Good point.
That's a deal that would have to be done, I would say.
Craig brings up a good point as well, and the fact that, look, if you're going to spend 130 million, chuck another 40 on there and get your boy Haaland, Jan.
Yeah, you could, and I think that is a fair deal, but I think that everybody saw that this thing with Dortmund would be difficult anyway because Dortmund were so strict on that. And I think that Manchester City, from the first place, were told that Harry Kane would be the most available, so to say, player. Mind you, this is a player who has scored a lot of goals for his country, scored a lot of goals for Tottenham. He is 28. There is no prospect of him winning trophies for his club, so he's the perfect player to try to get to one of the big clubs. But he's 28, and also he's been a bit injured and so on and so on. So I think that Tottenham should look closely on that, and maybe this is a way of tactic. Maybe the offer from Manchester City is a bit lower than it's been reported, and they try to up it up. But I think that this is the time for Tottenham to cash in on that. That player. So, to keep Harry Kane over the years, what has it given them? Mm. They have to ask themselves that question as well.
What's the figure, Jan? Do you think 100 million?
Well, if you saw that Sancho for 85 million euros, and we know that the price is, like Craig is saying, we throw 10, 12, 30 million around like candies at the moment in international football. But you can see this being a record. You see this will break the 100 million barrier at least. And you think that Tottenham wants to see that. They did that with Gareth Bale some years ago. And you will see them like 120-ish to get this boy going.
And if that's the case, they need to use the money wisely, which they did not do off the back of the Gareth Bale transfer.
Sure.
Now, I know the structure has changed this summer at Tottenham in terms of management, director of football, sporting director, call it what you like. There are new people there. But they just went out and splurged after I think it was the Bale move or the Modric, I think it was Bale.
Yeah.
And they went out and they just sort of scattergun approach, threw it up like confetti and went, well, if him and him and him and him, and managers were coming and going, and they ended up with a big squad, but a big squad that wasn't very well balanced with a lot of players that weren't quite good enough at the top end of the Premier League. And I think they're in that scenario again where potentially losing the striker, they're already losing defenders, there are other areas of the team that need strengthened as well. If Kane goes, you then have to worry about the snowball effect with other top players like Heung-Min Son looking to leave. So you then really have to make sure you're spending that money and making your acquisitions wisely. Tottenham were burnt before doing that. They can't afford to do it again. Because if they do it, it'll leave them a decade behind.
You look at this team, obviously, Jack Grealish, heavily linked to a move
Grealish
as well.
Grealish isn't in the team, he has done.
is this a problem for the Premier League?
Well,
to have a team this good that could be so dominant for a long time?
Well, they couldn't win the Champions League, could they?
No, they couldn't, yeah, but they're defending champions.
But they haven't been dominant in the Premier League because Chelsea have won the title, Leicester have won the title, 2016, Liverpool have won the title. Those teams will be competitive again. I don't think it'll be as simple as Grealish and Kane are in, right, that's it, it's over. I really don't.
I don't see why it's a problem to have a good team in the Premier League. And listen, I understand the concern. City have won, three of the last four titles. But having good teams in a league certainly lifts the other big boys.
Look at the Bundesliga, look at Bayern Munich.
Okay.
Look at the monopoly that they have over everything.
But that is based on a huge gulf with finances, more so than just an ability to attract players. But my point is, if you have a team like City putting out an 11 as they do, others respond. I think Liverpool responds. You'll see Manchester United continue to spend in response as well. I don't see how having a good team detracts from a league. I don't see how that's a problem.
Go on, Jan.
I think Dan, the similarity with Bundesliga is right and not right, because the big thing in England, you have a Liverpool who won the league, won the Champions League. You have Manchester United with money, tradition, history. You got Chelsea, who won the Champions League, and then you got Manchester City, and so on and so on. You got Arsenal with their tradition, a bit behind now, as are Tottenham. If you see in Germany, the main contender have been over the years only one team, and that has been Dortmund. And if they failed, the whole Bundesliga failed because Bayern won it anyway. Mm. So now you have RB Leipzig. You've got some money through Red Bull. And then they lose Upamecano, the best defender. They are losing Werner. They lost Schick. And then they lost their coach Nagelsmann. That doesn't happen in England, that you are kind of weakening so many teams. Manchester City, if they get Grealish, they weaken Aston Villa. They weaken Tottenham if they get Kane. That is not the same as it's going on in Germany. They weaken their main competitors.
I think one of the problems a lot of people are going to have is some of these clubs that were trying to dive out into this crazy European Super League, it was all about money, and now we have another club in Man City. And I, personally, I'm kind of in the fence with this in terms of they're going out and it looks like they're going to obliterate other teams out of the market. Now, we know there are some, parameters for financial fair play, but here we have a club who are, still being investigated, I believe, who had a potential ban, have some sort of irregularities. Not the only ones, but they're going out and splashing this money. And I think it's, what side of the fence do you sit on here? Is it do we want ownership that comes in and does it like Chelsea and City, or does it have to be more structure-based? And it's a difficult one to call, but you know, at the end of the day, the ownership of Man City are prepared to put the money in. I mean, they've got a lot of money back in prize money over the last few years. There's no doubt about that. I can't tell you what all the figures are in terms of balance up the profits and losses. But I know there'll be a few people out there saying, well, this is just City buying their way to titles again. I don't think it's as simple as that, but there are boffins out there that would argue that this is not healthy for other teams. But you know, United will spend and Chelsea are going to spend. So where do you stop it? I think that would be my big... If we could cap everything, I don't know what the guys think. I think that in some sense, if you could cap it, that would help. But I don't think capping salaries and capping... capping transfer fees and capping salaries in Europe, particularly in the UK, I don't think it's ever going to happen.
What about some sort of financial fair play? Maybe they can...
Well, that hasn't worked.
Just well, a reminder, to keep up to date with all the latest transfer news, including Christian Romero, a reportedly one step closer to that move to Tottenham, be sure to go over to the website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Gemma Soler joins the show once again. Shock, I know. We're going to start by talking about Lionel Messi, who, of course, supposed to be at training. He's still in Ibiza, sunning himself. We see him on Instagram, enjoying life at the moment. What's the latest?
Lucky him. Hola, Dan. Yeah. Well, the latest is that he's with a swimsuit and not with a Barcelona t-shirt training himself. Is it true that he's staying at his own hotel in Ibiza? So he's training by himself. But the simile is like, for example, if you, Dan, are waiting for your renewal contract with ESPN, you know La Liga is starting on the 13th of August, but you, instead of preparing, presenting the previous shows and doing everything you do, as you don't have the contract, you are in Ibiza or in Mallorca or anywhere in Spain waiting for that contract to happen. So that's the situation. He was supposed to come back yesterday to Barcelona and start training, but the contract is not ready. They are still trying to balance the books, so he's still on holidays.
Is there any chance we could be in the situation that we've discussed earlier in the summer, that they're not going to be able to balance the books in time and he's going to stay in Ibiza till January?
Of course, the possibility is there. It's difficult to balance the books, and even La Liga are desperate trying to keep Messi. They cannot do anything wrong with the room, with the rules, with the fair play, the financial fair play. So there is a possibility, but I have to say that the message that we, as the journalists, received from the club is of calm. It's just a bureaucratic matter, and actually the last of this history, you know, Barcelona are always playing their own friendly trophy. Is the Joan Gamper is being played this Sunday, and people are very near Leo Messi say that he's the captain. He won't be playing against Juventus, but he will give the every year a speech to the public. That we are still waiting to see if there is or there is not a 20% public in the Camp Nou.
Oh, it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out. I'm sure it's the last time I will ever ask you about Lionel Messi, Gemma. Fear not. We'll, of course, be keeping an eye on this as it develops ahead of the start of the new La Liga season. And to keep up to date with all the latest news, you can go over to our YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe to ESPN FC. It's 4 years to the day since PSG broke the bank to bring Neymar from Barcelona to Ligue 1. He's, of course, not with the team at the moment. He's on holiday, enjoying himself after, of course, Brazil made it to the final of Copa America. He's not quite as orange as Jules is. As Jules is with us now after his holiday. Jules, 4 years on, was it a success?
It's a very good question, Dan. I think if you look at the numbers, it's a success because the goals and the assists have been exceptional, really. The ratio of games played and returns in terms of goal and assists has been fantastic. At times he's been unplayable in Ligue 1, but also in the Champions League. There have been highs, of course, and lows as well. Remember that the first season where we quite heavily criticised him for the showboating, the fact that he didn't seem to really enjoy playing in Ligue 1. He struggled to adapt to the life in Paris, to even like the city. Now it's much better. But there have been lows and downs too. He's missed more than half of the game PSG have played in all competition in those 4 years. That's a lot of game missed when you cost so much money and you've got such a big wage as well. He almost won them the Champions League, which is what they bought him for. They came close in the final, of course, even last season in the semi-final to a certain extent. So he will have more time now that he's extended his deal to do that. But I don't think you can say it's a big success. You can't say it's a failure as well. I think it's just somewhere in between with, like we said, highs and lows. It hasn't always been easy for him, I think, but he could have made things much better as well for himself and for the team. So hopefully there's more to come from him, even if now he's obviously 4 years older than when they signed him.
What do you think, Craig? How would you sum it up?
Well, I kind of somewhat agree with Julian, and in another sense, I don't, because whenever PSG now bring in megastars, it's only for one reason, and it's to win one competition, and ultimately they haven't been able to do that yet. So in that sense, you would have to deem it a failure. Now, if you're happy with domestic trophies and domestic performances, then fine, no problem with that. But if we're gauging it on the real big one, that's what PSG want to win, then it hasn't worked out so far.
Is it blasé to say if he stayed at Barcelona, he would have won the Champions League?
Yes, it is. I don't think it's a given at all that Barcelona would have won the Champions League if Neymar stayed. In his last season at Barcelona, they got knocked out by Juventus, I think I'm about to say. So, and that was a pretty good team. And despite the money that came into Barcelona and how recklessly they spent it, they've just spiralled out of all control. So who knows where Barcelona would have been just financially if he had stayed. But while I understand, understand how difficult it is to say that Neymar has been a failure at PSG because of those titles won and because of his return, the question comes down to, would PSG have won three of the last four titles without Neymar? I think so.
Right.
And so while he has been simply outstanding,
But they might not have necessarily made it to the final or indeed semi-final of the Champions League.
That's the thing, right? We can't. My point being, you can't really judge it on whether PSG won three or four titles or French titles, because I think they would have anyway. So now it comes: was he brought in to deliver a final and semi-final appearance for PSG in the Champions League? Is that where they see themselves? Signal their progress? I'm saying no. I expected a little bit more from PSG, even if you find the likes of Bayern as they did, that final hurdle just a little bit too high to be talking about one final appearance and looking second best throughout. I'm a little bit reticent to say that's been a success.
There's still time. Let's look at it another way. The project so far has been a failure. Not dissimilar to Ronaldo going to Juventus. Not to say that he hasn't played well at Juventus. Of course he has. That would be stupid. But Juventus they had so many titles before he came. Who cared? The project was bring him in, bring the attention back to the club, attract better players, build a bigger squad, dominate Europe again, or certainly for a period. And that hasn't happened. And not only that, but they've lost their stranglehold in Italian football. So I think the project, in terms of what they were hoping the whole package would be, has yet to materialise.
Jan?
Yeah, it's interesting to discuss this, because I think it's also a cultural matter of this. Because many years ago, I was sharing the table with Fabio Capello. That was the week he kicked out John Terry at the national team, coincidentally. And we were talking about cultures in football, and he talked about his time at Real Madrid, and he said, by the end, the Brazilians party. That was unbelievable. And I think that we are discussing some of it here as well now, because when we do the analysis of Neymar, we are now showing some photos of him being a bit fatter than normal. I played in Middlesbrough. I remember back in the days we had Emerson. I don't know if you remember him. He just skipped some games, went to Brazil to see his girlfriend. I mean, so it's a cultural thing as well here. As well, Neymar is a fantastic player. He is a football star. But I think that we are also a bit disappointed that he hasn't taken the last step. We expected him to be up there with Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi. He hasn't. Is it a success to go into the Champions League semi-final, in the final with PSG? Of course it is. But it's also the point that Xhaka is doing. Would they have won the title without him in France? I think they would as well. So Neymar, we're just waiting for him. We just want him to see him when he's at his best. He's a magician, and we want to see that more often. And I haven't seen that enough.
Jules?
I think failure is too strong of a word. In that case, Pep Guardiola has been a failure at Manchester City, and Messi has been a failure in the last 6 years at Barcelona since winning the last Champions League. It can't only be, have you won the Champions League? You're a success. Have you not won the Champions League? You're a failure. I don't think it works like this. Yeah, of course, they would have still won the French League without him, but I'm not sure, like Dan, like you said, that they would have reached final and semi-final. That's more semi-final than Pep Guardiola in 5 years at Manchester City, for Neymar in 4 years in Paris. So I don't think the way we have to see it is through the Champions League prism. And in fairness, he hasn't won it. He hasn't won it for the club. They came close again in the final against Bayern, but he hasn't won it. And until he does that, maybe he won't be a success if he doesn't do it, or until he does it. But still, I still think that team has progressed, even psychologically, in the Champions League with him going that far. Before him, it was either last 16 or quarterfinals. He made them go to the next level, in a way, to the semi-final and final. I don't know what the next 3 or 4 years will bring with Neymar at the club. I agree with Jan, the latest photos from Ibiza, and he's due back for training on Friday. He doesn't look the sharpest and the fittest, but I guess he's on holidays, and I don't know. That's what some players do. But I want to give him another chance, more chance, and see what he can do, because I still think there's more to him than what we've seen so far.
Gab is also still on his holidays, of course, at the moment. So Jules was joined by Stuart Robson for the first show of the new season. Be sure to check out the Gab and Jules podcast over on the website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The introduction of VAR last season in the Premier League saw the increase in penalties, 125 in total compared to 92. How many is that, Shant? That is what?
A lot.
33 more,
yeah,
than the season before. Mike Riley has addressed that, looking ahead to the start of the second season with VAR. He's, of course, the chief of the referees, saying the principles we establish are the referee should look for contact, and establish clear contact, then ask if that contact has a consequence, and then has the player use that contact to try and win a foul or win a penalty. It's not sufficient to say, yes, there's contact.
Well, let me tell you something before that's always been the case. A referee has looked at an incident, has looked at the contact, and has deemed whether that contact as a consequence of the player going over, and then has decided to award the penalty or not. That's never changed.
But what we saw last season was, oh, there's contact, it's a penalty, isn't it?
No, that's how people interpreted it.
Oh.
Referees aren't supposed to interpret it.
Well, clearly Mike Riley is referees have been interpreting it wrong, haven't they? No, why would he come out and make this statement?
I personally find a very strange statement for a head of referee to make, because it's a contact sport. We know contact is allowed, and I, for one, don't suggest that just because there's contact, it's a penalty. So for them to be interpreting that way,
no, he's not interpreting it that way. He's interpreting.
But that's how he's explaining it.
What he's saying is that we're taking a look at the contact scenarios, and that if we feel that as a consequence of that, the player has embellished it, then we're not going to give the penalties. So we're going to try and make it more of a contact. Am I reading that right?
Yes, yeah.
They're going to try and make it, like, for example, the Raheem Sterling penalty
right.
in the Denmark game.
Yeah.
I think we all believe there was a little bit of contact, but nowhere near enough, and the player was going down. I think what he's saying is the Premier League would referee that as no penalty for that reason. That's what they should have been doing anyway.
Exactly, which is totally fine. But my point is, why do you finish that statement with, it's no longer enough just to say that there is contact or not?
Right.
Because then it suggests to me that at some point, between yourselves, that was part of the discussion, whether there's contact or not, and it never should have been.
Right. Jan?
Well, I think it's interesting that we are reading a statement from Mike Riley, and we kind of have to send that to VAR as well. I mean, it's getting the whole so complicated. I think more football fans and football people like ourselves want to have a flow. We want to have things be done quickly. And I think that they've learned that through Euros. I think partly that was good. They found a good way. There were exceptions, of course, as there are. But I think the English system of doing that, they said they're going to make the referees looking more secure in the games. But they made it look like Muppets sometimes, because they were so anxious that they were contact, not contact. And I think that they will do different things now to make the game flow more. There's going to be the offside line, the contact thing in the penalty areas. I mean, if you go down and you analyze what's happening in the 18-yard box, I mean, you can give penalties all around the world all the time, you know, and that is the problem. I think we have to do it quicker. And I think that the English FA or whoever decisions on Mike Riley, they saw at the Euros it's possible to do that. I've also seen in Germany they made it better when they practice that, and they learn from their mistakes, and hopefully the English Premier League will learn from their mistakes, because these VAR, that annoys so many people, and that kind of take away the credibility of a system that, which is good in some areas and totally terrible in some areas.
Yeah, they made it look bad. The big problem for England was, I mean, I think the Euros was better in terms of referees watching for contact and not been fooled by every contact. The handball, arm ball, whatever we want to call it, law, which they tweaked to be give a bit more leeway to defenders with the arm out a little bit, was good. But what we have here is a classic case of black and white. The refereeing standards in the Premier League last year, not as a generalisation, but a lot of the time when VAR was called upon, was useless.
Right.
Was bad.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. And just because they're changing what they would say is their interpretation or implementation doesn't mean the decisions are going to be better, because the standard of refereeing, I thought, in England was as poor as any country across Europe's top leagues. What should happen here with Mike Riley in charge? He should, every weekend when VAR's been operated on, he should have electrodes put on him. And every time there's a really horrendous VAR call, the camera should cut to him taking an electric shock. That's how bad it was last year.
Like your dog.
It's like a dog running through the invisible fence and it squeals.
Well, that'd be a good game show, maybe. We could watch Mike Ryan.
That'd be more fun.
It would be. Be sure to check out Extra Time, which is always available over on our YouTube channel.
Good shoot and score! The shot is fired in!
V
Blimmin' it, 10 days to go. Not long now then until La Liga kicks off here on ESPN. And our feature team today is Alaves, who start off their campaign at home against Real Madrid. That game live on ESPN Plus on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Gemma is back with us. Gemma, I don't know much about Alaves.
Okay, I can tell you many, many things. Actually, I think you have to try to learn some words. One is the name of the stadium. I know it's not very easy for you guys. Mendizorroza.
Mendizorroza.
Well, quite well. Very well, very well. Mm. Also, you can call the team El Glorioso, the Glory Team, or Babazorros. This is the name of the people in the area. It's a small team, but very proud. They have an amazing atmosphere there in Mendizorroza. You know, in 2017, they even play a final, the Copa del Rey, against FC Barcelona. They defeat, but it was, of course, something very big for this humble team. But since then, they have been struggling last year. Actually, last year they were about to be relegated like 12 matches before the end of the season, but they decided to change the coach. They put Javi Calleja, with a big experience with Villarreal, and he managed to push the team. They were in a winning streak. They win four of last five matches, and they managed to escape from relegation. It's more or less the same team, and they have a big problem. It's called Joselu. It's their best player, and he wants to leave.
And he wants to go to Sevilla, and this is going to be a battle, you feel, that's going to go on for a while, Gemma.
Yeah, it is. It's like the soap opera this summer with Alaves. He's the player, the MVP of the team. He has scored many, many goals, but he wants a bigger challenge. Sevilla are very interested in them. So now he's pushing to leave. He's not playing any of the friendlies. There is like a divorce between him and the team. And even his representative, his manager, said that the club has kidnapped his player, Joselu.
And of course, off the pitch, you talk about Alaves, of course, one of the sides very proud to be in the Basque Country.
Yes, of course. Actually, the city is Vitoria, is the capital of the Basque Country. So it's an area very, very proud of themselves. You can eat delicious pinchos there. And it's quite a wealthy city. It's a very beautiful city of Spain, very green. It's actually one of the greenest cities in Europe. I think there is a 45 square meters per capita. Everyone has 45 meters of green of park in this city. So it's quite a beautiful city, and it's well known for the good quality of life in this city.
Thank you very much, Gemma. Just say a reminder, if you ever miss a show, you can download our daily podcast, which is available over on the website. The final set then for the Olympic soccer, it will be Brazil against Spain, both semi-finals going to extra time. Brazil beating Mexico on penalties. Meanwhile, Asensio with a lovely finish late on to give Spain a place in the final. Gemma, does anyone in Spain care about this?
Yes, they do. Yeah. And actually, the games, the matches are played in the morning, but in an hour that we can follow them. So there is quite expectation because, you know, it's the base of the new Spain national team. Six of these players of the Olympic team played in the Euro, and most of these players, we're going to see them explode this year, I'm afraid, in La Liga. So we have Pedri playing 72 games this year.
Goodness.
It's crazy. Eric Garcia, Pau Torres, Dani Olmo, Oyarzabal, Unai Simón, the national goalkeeper, and of course Marco Asensio, and that incredible goal, like a video game goal, that gave Spain the pass to the final. 21 years without being a final, 29 years without winning a gold. Last and the only time was here in Barcelona. So there is quite a lot of excitement. Is it true that maybe the players are great? The football of Spain is, I don't think it's been that brilliant, more effective than brilliant. But yeah, of course, there is an expectation. Of course, I think the favorites are the defending champions, Brazil. But We will see. Maybe we go to the extra time at the final, Dan, because Spain is the absolute kings of the extra time. Three extra times in the Euro, two extra times in the Olympic Games. We'll see if there is a third.
Yeah, why not? More extra time for these poor players then, who have to come and return then to a domestic season. Is there not a concern that Pedri's legs are going to fall off at some stage?
There is many concerns in Barcelona because they are aware that he's a capital player. You know, he played 37 games in La Liga, so he only missed one game in La Liga, 38 match days. It was the last day in Eibar that there was nothing to play, so Koeman gave him... Of course, there is a concern. We still don't know how many holidays will he be having. It's of course, a very young player. He's 18, and he wants to play and fight for every ball, but, of course, it's a matter of concern here in Barcelona.
Great stuff, Gemma. As always, thank you very much. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thank you very much.
That is he coming on?
That brings us to the end.
Let's get him on.
That brings us to the end of today's show. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thanks for your tweets. Craig is here. First show this week. What was that noise? Shaka as well. Yeah, and what are you doing? What was that banging?
I was banging my notes.
Goodness me.
No, but to be fair, boys, I'm so surprised. Craig looks so in good mood today. I mean, that changed. I was so prepared for Craig being moody, and he's like a lovely. He looks like John Travolta.
It's the new me, Jan. It's the new me. 2 days a week.
He's doing 2 days a week at the moment, Jan.
2 days a week. I'm going to be really annoyed when the schedule comes out on Thursday. If there's any more than two on there next week,
it's going to be.
I hope my boss is watching. Any more than two next week, and I'm going.
Shaka, are you doing just 2 days a week as well?
I'm here a little bit more.
Jan, where are you? No, you haven't got the normal shirts behind you.
No, I am in a training camp now before the Bundesliga, so I had to go somewhere to study for the big Germany Bundesliga. So I went to Italy.
Oh,
Sardinia,
lovely.
I am.
Oh, which part of Italy are you in?
Sardinia.
What is it with Norwegians in Sardinia?
What?
Did you see Karsten Warholm, boys? haven't congratulated with 400 meter hurdles.
We've got a tweet about that later on, Jan. Don't worry. What do you mean congratulate you? You didn't run it.
Well, I'm a Norwegian. We are only 5 million.
When's this Olympics finishing?
I don't know. Soon, I imagine. Why?
Sorry, I'm not just saying this, but each to their own. I have not seen 1 millisecond of the Olympics.
Right.
Can't wait till it finishes.
But if you haven't seen it, why does it bother you?
Well, because people are talking about it.
Who?
Yeah, you just mentioned
what
it.
People? Yeah.
I bumped into Frodo you a minute ago. You should have got a tweet.
We started off this extra time with Jan complimenting you.
Now you're angry about the Olympics.
I bumped into him next Sunday.
I've not watched a millisecond and I can't wait for it to be over.
I can't. Oh, he's pulling out, she's pulling out. Yeah. They're not well, he's not well.
Who did you bump into?
Oh, Frodo Grodas in Sardinia. Many years
ago. Did you speak to Frode?
Yes, Norwegians. Place is full of them.
Did you speak?
Yeah, we went we were at a place called the 40 Village, and it was we went for dinner.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Beautiful.
I've been there many times, Craig.
I don't have time to do these kind of things, Jan, because my schedule is too busy at the moment.
Yeah.
Forte Village is the place that the generation of players like Craig and myself, Xhaka, we always went there. And I remember once I went there with Henning Berg from Manchester United, and I realized if they made a 16-man squad of the people at the place, we wouldn't get into the squad. Wow. So this is Forte Village.
And you just
Sardinia,
keep going back now, Jan.
No, you're not there now.
I'm not there now.
No.
Listen, I'll do the rest of the week for you.
No, he won't. Xhaka, with Frank and Jules messing up on extra time yesterday, they didn't know what they were doing after returning from vacation.
Hold on. Do they ever know what they're doing?
No, that's a fair point, especially ever? Frank. Should Xhaka coach each team member on the art of returning to work from vacation as Xhaka takes so many holidays?
Where's this come from?
We don't have any holidays.
I haven't been on holiday forever.
Craig's taking your quota.
He doesn't even need holidays. He's just coming 2 days a week.
I'm just on a reduced day's schedule. This is karma. For all the time you've had off over the years.
Yeah, that's what it is.
They're going to rack it up. Oh, no. You're going to be working seven days a week for about the next 5 years.
That has been grossly exaggerated. I have a couple of days off here and there.
Yeah, we know, Shaq. Jan, with the likes of Modric, Bale and now Kane skipping Tottenham training, does the lack of ambition at the club lead to its best players leaving?
Yes, it does. Because these best players, they meet up with the national team players, and there are players from like in Germany, Bayern Munich, or in England, they were Manchester City and the Liverpools of this world, and they are asking, how much do you earn? No, they don't talk about that. Well, they talk about that as well, but more like titles, because a lot of these players, they earn so much money anyway. So it's all about titles, it's all about the prestige, it's all about this. And if you see Tottenham, and I got so many friends who are frustrated Tottenham fans, and there is no light in sight. I can't see them winning any trophy the next couple of years anyway. And Harry Kane, Modric and Bale, they had to leave the club to win trophies. Is that sad? Maybe so. Is it fact? Absolutely.
You're taking a holiday anyway, aren't you?
September is my training holiday camp.
No. You're taking one next week.
Next week's not a holiday.
You're going
work.
To Spain.
Yeah, but that's work, isn't it?
And who's all going on the trip?
Me and Ali are going from here.
And who's going?
And some bosses are going.
Hold on, when I travel for work,
some of our bosses
I get accused
are going.
Of all sorts.
Tell you what, sounds like
I travel
great...
for work.
This sounds
everybody
like a great
says
trip.
I'm on holiday.
Can I be on that trip? It sounds like a great trip.
No,
you and Moreno.
You're not going on the trip.
That's going to be exciting. And then bosses.
Shouldn't Kane's agent be fired, Shaq? What did they think is going to happen? There are only 8 teams that can even potentially afford £100 million pre-pandemic. He had to know Spurs were never going to really compete with big teams, hoping to win an FA or Carabao Cup. Why sign the deal?
Yeah, I think it's a failure of the agent to insist. And see to get out close, without question.
Right.
And as much as I'm defending Harry Kane and saying I believe that there's a gentleman's agreement, I think as an agent, unless Harry Kane comes to you and says no,
right,
don't negotiate for that, as an agent, you have a responsibility to have something in there.
You know who his agent is?
No, I don't, Dan.
His brother.
Well, then he needs to fire his brother.
Jan, if Chelsea get Lukaku, City get Kane, and Real Madrid get Mbappe, who is most likely to capture Haaland next season?
Ooh. Well, that is first of all, it's a big question, but it's very hard to say, because if you see 1 year back, we would say that this summer, the pandemic and everything should be sorted out and there should be fans back at the stadiums. And now the clubs are losing so much money, as are Dortmund. And I think you have to respect Dortmund that they will try to keep on to Erling Haaland, although they could get a double the money this summer. So who will be the coach of Real Madrid next summer? Will Barcelona sort out their financial problems? What's happening in Manchester City? And so on and so on. So that is impossible to say. And even Bayern Munich, they think they have a chance next summer if they let Lewandowski go, and then they can get Erling Haaland in as a replacement. Having said that, Team Haaland and Erling Haaland will have the final word next summer. This summer, Dortmund will have the last word.
Spain, eh?
Spain?
Spain.
What?
Yeah.
Why do you keep bringing it up? You want to come as well. That's why you keep bringing it up.
I don't want to come.
Well, I'm dead.
Spain, you try to have beers. Ali Moreno on Shirley Temples.
Why are you bringing it?
Bosses hanging
it's
about.
Not bothered, though, Shaq.
No, I'm not bothered.
I don't know why you're bringing it up.
This is a continuation. Well, I've not watched a second of the Olympics. Well, no, but I can't wait for it to be over.
Craig,
I don't want to go to Spain.
I think you know that even if I was told I had to go, I think you know I can't go anyway. Because of my
Yes, but I don't know why you keep bringing it up.
No, but I'm intrigued by
the dynamic.
The dynamic of you trying to have some fun. And the Shirley Temple no drinker and the bosses hanging around.
Well, I'm sure I'll be able to...
It sounds like a great trip.
I'm sure I'll be able to find someone to play with.
And it's in Barcelona.
Yes,
and it's not Madrid. It's not Madrid where you ducked and dived for 5 years, so you can't go back to the old haunts.
Aye, that's all
right. Dan ducked and dived.
It sounds like a great trip, doesn't it, Jack? I'll be off. You're working.
Yeah. Right. A lot of big players are just returning.
A lot of big players, Jan, are just returning
for pre-season.
Is that
really enough time for teams to be ready to start the Premier League?
No, it's not. But the good thing about it is that the big clubs, they more or less have the same amount of players being in that situation. So that is a part of things. I think the bigger discussion is that the number of games a lot of these players have had, that makes them more vulnerable for injuries and so on. I think just an example of my head, you saw Bruno Fernandes at the Euros. He looked very, very tired. You can see example of that on injuries and so on. But no, I don't think it's unfair. That is all over the line. All the clubs have their players, and you will see some of them. And you've seen some in Germany now, with Bayern Munich, of course. Before games now, they had in the preseason with Nagelsmann. They lost three of them. They lost 3-0 to Napoli at home.
Oh, dear.
So there's a crisis before the season.
People got it. Oh. Viva la España. Oh, no, sorry. people have got to get over this fairness thing. F-Shark, you wouldn't want to be on that trip, but Jesus Christ. People have to get over this fairness thing. Oh, is it fair? As Jan said, it's part and parcel of being a footballer. Big tournaments, less rest, injuries happens. It's like, they're playing on Wednesday, we're playing on Tuesday. That's not fair.
Right.
Jesus Christ, everybody can't play on the same day. People have to get over this fairness issue all the time, as if people are out there. Anyway.
Jan, why is Odegaard still sticking with Madrid? Surely he can develop greatly
Bosses,
if he leaves
Spain.
And becomes a crucial first-team player elsewhere.
Okay, I'm going to be on this.
Well, Dan, can't you ask him when you're going to the holiday in Spain?
Right, yes, I'll ask him, fear not.
This is a split thing for Martin Odegaard. He wants to play. He wants to play football. At the time, he was very good at Arsenal, and they wanted to have him. But then he was ordered back to Real Madrid, who have a terrible image of taking care of young players. They have to get more through. They had Jovic. They have Odegaard. They have to get some of them through. And now you see criticism just after one game where they played up in Scotland, Real Madrid. So we'll see what's happening with Martin Odegaard. Hopefully, we'll get some good games under his belt now for Real Madrid and try to establish himself. If not, they should sell him.
That was when Kay Murray, how shall I put this?
My colleague,
stand-in host.
Right.
What does that make Sebi?
Sebi's forgotten. He's got Football Americas.
Oh, my God. Why wouldn't you? That's when Kay Murray was cohort standing. I don't know.
Right, well, where are you going?
You were off again.
Where are you going with this?
She slandered Scottish football.
Right.
She said, can't remember who was on, who else was on, but she said, Real Madrid have lost to Rangers, what's happening? I said,
right.
Scottish champions, about to be in Shaka's power rankings at number one.
Right.
Is it a big surprise that Real Madrid lose to the best team in Scotland?
No, they're at different stages of pre-season, aren't they? Real Madrid.
Well, I tried to explain that to Kay, but unfortunately she had already completely slandered Scottish football.
Right. Well, slander Scottish football every day.
I don't talk about it.
When you do talk about it, you slander
we
it.
We don't cover it on here.
I should have never given Craig that compliment.
I know, that's
he
it.
He turned around.
I know, he
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Right, yeah.
Well, I think it's the days. My boss is watching this, Shaq, and he's going to say, do you know what? Getting Craig on 2 days a week makes him so happy. That's the way forward.
Yeah. Maybe just, and you've been on both sides of the microphone, if you like. The most.
What do you mean?
So he interviews people, doesn't he? And, of course, he was interviewed
is
as a player.
Is that how you interview people?
Yes.
We've got a microphone on. We've been on both sides.
No, but when you interview someone, you do it with one microphone traditionally.
Well, I can hold this up.
Well, then you look like a silly boy. Right, the most awkward interview you've had with a journalist, Jan, or indeed the most awkward interview you've had with a player or manager?
Most awkward thing was manager was Pep Guardiola when I lost 1-0 in the Champions League against Tottenham. I asked him the same question 4 times because I didn't want to give up. I said, what do you do to keep your players going? Or he just said one word. He said, sleeping. And I said, except sleeping, what do you do? Eating. And I said, except sleeping and eating. And he said, sleeping, eating and drinking. And I said, except sleeping, eating and drinking. And when I was finished with that interview, he went out. And the head of communication of Manchester City came back to me and said, Jan, what was that all about? And I explained to him that he didn't answer my question, but it was quite awkward. It took me some time to do that again. But I felt good afterwards because sometimes the manager wants you to feel awkward. And like you said, I've been on the other side and I've sometimes been a muppet myself in interviews. And when I was young, I did some of the, I did some bad interviews. So I think that was the most awkward one, absolutely.
Some of the most awkward interviews over the years have been involving Gordon Strachan.
Yeah.
Who has,
yes.
Wee Gordon has changed somewhat from the old days when, I don't always agree with it the way he did it, but they were.
You must have been quite nice to interview when you were a player.
I was fine.
Yeah, I bet you were not now.
I used to say to whenever I was doing a radio interview or that, because particularly at Celtic, we got daily requests. At Chelsea, it was more a weekly request, but because it was so frantic in Scotland, the requests for players were daily. But I used to say to the radio boys on the TV, they used to say, because some people are a bit awkward and they say, oh, I'm going to ask you. I say, don't tell me what you're going to ask me. I don't care. Yeah. Ask me what you like. And if I don't like it, I'll find a way around it. Whereas some people are not as comfortable and they want to know what they've been asked. I never had that problem. So
well
I
done.
Just,
congratulations.
Said to the boys, ask me what you want. So
right.
Have another day off.
What about you, Shaq?
Can you do it Thursday? Because I'm in Thursday.
Did you have any awkward interviews? Don't engage. Did you have any awkward interviews?
Me? No, never.
No, it's all right.
Nope.
Craig, you're on that show when I interviewed Pele. That was awkward.
That was good.
Yeah, well, yeah, the whole thing was getting him on anyway.
Yeah, that was silly.
That was awkward. I'll tell you what was awkward. When we interviewed, you were off, it was Aid.
David Ginola.
Grilling David Ginola about his run for FIFA president. When we absolutely wiped the floor with him and then he stormed off.
Yeah, I remember that.
And but he was just telling porky pies. So he wasn't coming on this show with his BS about running for FIFA president when it was all some big marketing scam, so no.
Final question, Jan, the one you've been waiting for. Your friend.
Yes.
Carsten Warholm was simply outstanding in the 400-metre hurdles
Jan's
at the Olympics
not got
today.
Friends.
Shattering the world record and winning the gold. How are you feeling since you mentioned earlier that you were eagerly awaiting this event? Did you get to talk to him?
Well, boys, we are on another time schedule. So he was having his run this morning at 5:20.
Oh, that's
and
why
my, I had my wake up call 5:10, but my body woke up from itself 5:04. So I was ready for his run. 400 meter hurdles, 45.94. He broke his own world record, 76 hundredths of a second. It was an unbelievable thing. It's the biggest thing that happened to Norway since Roald Amundsen explored the South Pole like 110 years ago. It is a fantastic day for us.
Who's bigger, him or Erling Haaland?
At the moment, it's Carsten Warholm because he's Olympic winner and he's won the World Championship twice. He broke the world record twice. Remember 400-meter hurdles back in the Edwin Moses, Kevin Young days. There haven't been a lot of world records, so this is an amazing effort from the young Norwegian.
Ed Moses, you remember him?
Yes.
Even you remember him.
Wow. That was 400 flat, though. That wasn't hurdles.
What?
No, Ed did run hurdles. Never mind.
Edwin Moses was 400 meter hurdles.
Yeah, I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Shock.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You're talking to... We had Sally Gunnell, she did the hurdles, didn't she?
I've met Ed Moses.
No, I've been serious. I used to love watching the Olympics, particularly the track and field, but for some reason in the last. Just don't get into it. Oh, do you get into it?
Yeah. I was watching Elaine Thompson this morning.
Who the hell's that?
200 meter winner.
Who's the favourite for the 100 metres?
They've already had it, the Italian one.
Italian?
Yes.
Nobody watching men.
Seriously?
Yes.
I didn't watch him.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did he run at?
Jamaican women won
1.79. Did he
do 9.79?
It was a great time. Great time. Yeah,
holy smokes. Was the wind behind?
No.
Wow.
There you go.
Is that the world record now? I don't know.
No. 9.63, I think it is. Usain Bolt.
9.58.
Are you saying Bolt?
9.63.
Was he playing for Dortmund at the time?
Right, that's it.
When's the Olympics finished?
Next Craig's Sunday. Off tomorrow. What a shame for us all.
You're going to Spain anyway with bosses. Brown nosing.
Oh, sir, please.